Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us today on another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. You're our guest. We're delighted to invite you to call in. Join in the dialogue and discussion on each of our broadcasts. That call-in telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, comment, enjoy the dialogue and discussion together on the issues. Today we're going to be talking about bad news, good news, an open mic. You can call in and discuss these or other issues that are on your heart that you're concerned about that we see taking place on a national, international level. And we generally like to look at the issue and connect it with what the Bible says and how God's Word says we ought to respond. It's looking at the book of truth, the Bible. Jesus said in His Word, "If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's what He said to His disciples in John 8, 31 and 32. And then Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I am truth." And then again, Jesus speaks on that subject of truth in John 17, 17, when the Lord Jesus Himself said, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that has the first, foremost, and final authority in anything that's said or done. It ought not to be based on denominational dogma with rites, rituals, rules, and regulations. It ought not to be our decision facing issues should not be based on some political, ideological bent. But what does the Word of God say? How do we need to stand in light of what God's Word directs us? Keep in mind, God created the home. He created government, He created the church, and He did so in that order. Therefore, anything that we discuss in any of those spectrums are biblical issues, and we need to face those biblical issues and discuss those biblical issues based on the authority of Scripture and what does God's Word say about them. Too many times, I think that as Christians and conservatives, we shy away from taking a stand on truth, taking a stand on what the Word of God says, and therefore we fail and falter and fall so often because we fail to trust God and God's Word in what He said. It's called truth. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And then the favorite of mine on the subject of truth is found in a quote from the theologian and church reformer of the 15th century, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christian, seek the truth. Listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." Ladies and gentlemen, that's my challenge to each of our listeners each and every day, that we seek the truth, stand for the truth, learn the truth, listen to the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth. And that's our attempt each and every day on this broadcast as we face the issues. I pray that it's a blessing to you, and I pray that you will share the information about tuning in and getting others to tune in and join in listening and join in sharing the truth of the words of this broadcast each and every day. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that's the full line of landscape lawn care equipment that is provided for professionals as well as homeowners. Tude for Time also carries the hurricane preparedness equipment and has a full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all your questions about backup power generation as well as the landscape lawn care equipment. Tude for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I had not included this little tidbit in my initial thoughts for this broadcast today, but it's just come across the line on online news that is a frightening, staggering article that I think we need to address at the early part of this broadcast. And so I've made it primary and priority for what I want to say. In fact, this article says Florida Senate panel, that's the Florida Senate panel, backs gun control measures for the state of Florida. I just made a little marginal note at the top of this news article. Very scary. Dateline Tallahassee, Florida. Over the objections of the National Rifle Association, a Senate panel Monday unanimously signed off on a far-reaching measure that would close the gun show loophole, create a record-keeping system for private gun sales, and set aside $5 million to establish a statewide strategy for violence prevention. The proposal, Senate Bill 7028, is a priority of Senate President Bill Galvano, Republican of Bradenton, as evidenced by the Senate Infrastructure and Security Committee's consideration and package of measures the day before the 2020 legislative session began. In other words, the Senate President Bill Galvano of Bradenton, Florida, a Republican, ladies and gentlemen, is the one that spearheaded this. You've heard me say before on the broadcast that the president of the Senate had warned, admonished all of our Republican senators that we must go along with some of these far-out democratically sponsored gun control bills. His statement to the Republican senators, we need to go along with them if you plan to get reelected. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm absolutely appalled by it. I'm saddened by it. And I challenge every listener today, call your senator now, today, after this broadcast, and tell them, don't you dare vote for such a bill. Don't you dare make that law for the state of Florida. This article further says the sweeping legislation would require background checks and a 3-day waiting period for firearms sold on property to which the public has the right of access, such as a flea market, gun show, firearm exhibits, etc. And ladies and gentlemen, if I can just extend that a little further, if the public has to, if there will be a protection and a prevention of firearms on grounds like that where the public is invited, then I believe, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes, if this bill passes, if it comes down to enabling legislation where the bureaucrats sitting behind a desk with a sharp pencil will extend that and will make it also illegal to protect a church, as we found the protection took place in Texas, where in 6 seconds the shooter was neutralized, that protected the lives of dozens, perhaps of hundreds, of the worshipers. I'm frightened to death at this bill and the potentiality of it. Ladies and gentlemen, the article further says the measure would also mandate the guns be, listen, securely stored in the household and other places where minors under 18 and up would, where the currently it is a threshold of 16 years of age, could have access to the weapons. In other words, you've got to have your weapon in a lockbox and the ammunition out, the ammunition in a separate place. When a burglar starts to intrude or a murderer starts to intrude or when your door is smashed down by a would-be mass murderer or slaughterer of your family, you've got to say, Mr. Burglar, would you wait a moment? Mr. Murderer, would you wait a moment? Let me unlock my gun. First of all, I got to find the key. After I find the key and unlock my gun, let me run down the hallway, go to the closet, look in the chest, and find my ammo so that I can defend myself and my family. That's what it amounts to, ladies and gentlemen. This bill also would create a new section of the law, listen, a new section of the law that would require guns to be stored to prevent access by any person that may be of unsound mind. Now, who's going to decide whether that person is has an unsound mind? Who's going to be the arbiter of who's nuts and who's not, as I've said for years? This article further states, and the proposal would impose new requirements for private gun sales. Under the measure, individuals who sell guns to other people. Let me pause there. if I decide to sell my gun to my wife or just give it to her, we've got to take it to a gun dealer, get the gun dealer to make the transaction and write it up as though the gun dealer had sold the weapon. It further says here, guns to other people would require to fill out a form that would include the name, date of birth, and the identification information of the purchaser, the affidavit, which would include the background questions aimed at ensuring the purchaser is eligible to buy a gun. The form would then have to be notarized. Isn't that wonderful? The measure contains the worst universal background check language I've ever seen. Marion Hammer, of the NRA, Florida lobbyist, and a former president of the National Gun Rights Organization, told the Senate panel. The legislation is nothing less than full gun control on steroids, this writer says. But the committee chairman, Tom Lee, Republican, said the legislation just simply makes sense. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have conservative Republicans in Tallahassee in the Senate. We do not have conservative Republicans that's looking over the business of the Florida citizens, that's trying to protect our rights and the Second Amendment for us to have the right to keep and bear arms and protect ourselves and our families. What if this law, ladies and gentlemen, were in effect and we have someone walk in our churches or schools or other places where they are viewed as soft targets? How are we going to protect ourselves? And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. I'm advocating this simply because I am a Second Amendment rights advocate. I've written the book on the subject. I've done the research on the subject. The Word of God, God's Word, creates the right of self-defense. God's Word gives the citizens the right to self-defense. God's Word gives us what we call today in Florida the Castle Doctrine, the right to defend yourself and your family. Go back and study the little book of Esther, especially in chapter 8 and 9, and you find God giving that rule of the regulation, that guideline, by law. When the law had been put out to go out and kill all of the Jews, he then could not amend the law because the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be altered according to the custom. But he wrote a new law and sent it out to 128 provinces, giving the Jewish people the authority that when they come in to kill you, stand up and kill them first. Defend your family. Jesus said to his disciples, if you've got two outer garments, sell one and buy a sword. Why did he do that? For self-defense. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on and on throughout the scripture, and it's codified in my book, The Doctrine of Self-Defense. And ladies and gentlemen, it's because it was absolutely codified in the scripture, confirmed by the United States Supreme Court to be carried out by we the people. And yet we find state after state after state where the ranked, loose, lax, lost liberals under whatever banner, Democrat or Republican, are trying to foreclose the right of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is the only one of the 27 amendments that states and shall not be infringed upon. It's bad enough to see what's happening in Virginia today, where the governor is trying to confiscate weapons. It's bad enough to see that. It's bad enough to see these socialist Marxist Democrats running for president, that all of them say that somehow, some way, they would confiscate weapons. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about right here in the state of Florida. We're talking about what is taking place in the Florida Senate that demands our attention, demands that you get on the telephone today and call the president of the Senate, Galvano, or call your individual senator and say, don't you dare vote for this bill. We must intercede now. We must prevent it from going to the floor and being voted on and becoming law. If it becomes law in the state of Florida, we will see what I simply call the act of gun confiscation in the state of Florida. I'm concerned for our future as a so-called conservative state, ladies and gentlemen. But with all that being said, there is some good news. We're talking about good news, bad news today. There is good news today because this morning in the Senator McConnell, did get approval of the guidelines and rules for carrying out the Senate hearing on the impeachment hoax that is taking place now in Washington. Today, they will convene again at 1 o'clock. They finished last night somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 to 2:30 this morning. And in that, I think it was a 13-hour session yesterday. But early this morning, I believe it was about 2:15, Chief Justice John Roberts had to intervene and reminded Jerry Nadler and others that they were out of order. Perhaps now the Senate can move forward today toward the rules and getting ultimately a ruling to dismiss the phony socialist Marxist Democrats' attempt to thwart the will of the people in the 2016 election. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the article, and I'll just read you a few brief blurbs from it. It's about a 8 or 10 page article, but I'm just going to read you some of the highlights throughout it. This article says Chief Justice Roberts admonishes both sides at the Senate impeachment trial after marathon session erupts into a shouting match. Marathon of 12 to 13 hours the first day of the Senate impeachment trial against President Trump erupted into a shouting match well after midnight Wednesday morning as Trump's legal team unloaded on Democratic impeachment manager Representative Jerry Nadler, Democrat of New York, in an exchange that prompted a blurry-eyed Chief Justice John Roberts to sternly admonish both sides for their misconduct in the chamber. Nadler began the historic spat by speaking in support of the Eighth Amendment on the Eighth Amendment, where they're trying to get the rules and the regulations amended. And the purpose for the amendments are simply to be able to call witnesses and finish the job that they claimed they did not have time to do in the House. Which was proposed by Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat, New York. Just as the clock struck midnight, the proposal would have amended the trial rules offered by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to immediately subpoena former National Security Advisor John Bolton. McConnell's rules, which were eventually adopted 53-47 on a party line at 1:40 a.m. This morning. The article further says, but Nadler, who was overheard apparently planning to impeach President Trump as far back as 2018, said it would be a treacherous vote, a cover-up for Republicans to reject the Bolton subpoena amendment, claiming that only guilty people tried to hide evidence. Look who's talking. Guilty people trying to hide. That's what they did in all of the shenanigans that took place in the United States House of Representatives when they ramrodded through in 78 days, 71 days, I believe it was, where there was absolutely a foreclosing of any possibility of President Trump to have any input or any representation or any defense in that process. The article further states, he says that it's a cover-up for Republicans to reject the Bolton subpoena amendment, claiming that only guilty people try to hide the evidence. It's embarrassing, Nadler began. The president is on trial in the Senate, but the Senate is on trial in the eyes of the American people, Nadler said. Will you vote to allow the relevant evidence to be presented here, or will you betray your pledge to an impartial jury? Will you bring Ambassador Bolton here? Will you permit us to present you with the entire record of the president's misconduct? Ladies and gentlemen, I thought the House has the responsibility under the United States Constitution to do the impeachment. They have to bring the articles of impeachment completed and final and ready for the jury, that is the Senate, to be able to hear it and then adjudicate guilty or not guilty. They've not done that. He says, further, will you let us present you the entire record of the president's misconduct, or we instead choose to be complicit in the president's cover-up? So far, I'm sad to say that I see a lot of senators voting for cover-up, voting to deny witnesses, and to absolutely indefensibly vote, obviously a treacherous vote. Trump's legal team, which has assured the Democrats' impeachment case could be as open and shut as advertised, given the opportunity for the urgent need for the evidence that the House claims that they needed. We've been respectful, said of the Senate, an animated White House counsel fired back. We've made our arguments to you, and we don't deserve what you have just been saying, Representative Nadler. And it goes on and on and on. And let me just drop down at about 12:10 a.m., January 22nd, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee in this body on the floor of the Senate said executive privilege and others are nonsense, is what Nadler's been saying. Sekulow said, now think about that for a moment. Executive privilege and other nonsense. Mr. Nadler, it's not nonsense. There are privileges recognized by the U.S. Supreme Court of the United States and shared by the commission, the Constitution, on the floor of the Senate. To serve what purpose? The Senate is not on trial. The Constitution doesn't allow what just took place. I look, what we've dealt with so far for the last 13 hours, and we hopefully are closing the procedure, but not on a very high note. Then Jay Sekulow goes on to confront that, and he talks about Eric Holder and how they had a different attitude and a different approach there and so forth. It's appropriate at this point for me to admonish. This is where Chief Justice Roberts comes in. Appropriate for me at this moment to admonish both the House managers and the President's counsel in equal terms to remember that they are addressing the world's greatest deliberative body, Roberts said, and I could go on as a five-page article. Very important, though. But it was the end result was that the rules, as the Senate President McConnell has set forth, are now in place. So, Lord willing, they can move forward with a soon acquittal. And that's where it needs to go. They don't need to call witnesses. They don't need to try to finish the case that the House Democrats claimed they could not finish because of whatever excuse. They simply thought that they could rush it in and then pressure the Senate. That's where the House Democrats, the socialist Marxist Democrats, thought that they could come in and manage and bamboozle and control the Senate. They found that they cannot do that. So I'm prayerful that it can move forward with a very rapid acquittal on the part of the president. And ladies and gentlemen, by the way, according to the major, now retired professor at Harvard Law School, Alan Dershowitz. Alan Dershowitz says if there's an acquittal, there's no impeachment. It's not as Nancy Pelosi said that this will be a permanent mark on the president's record for life. Because if there's an acquittal in the Senate, it is though an impeachment didn't take place. It's just as though a closed session of a jury is listening to cases behind closed doors and they rule that there's no prosecutorial evidence. Then it is though it never happened. It's not whether you go out and say, well, he was prosecuted, but we're not going to put him in jail, et cetera, et cetera. That's not the case. And so I am thankful for that. That's good news, ladies and gentlemen. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over with your question or comment, please.
First of all, that was a great interview you did yesterday with Congressman John Rutherford. Thank you very much for that. Here in Florida, the Republicans are the biggest enemy of gun rights. May I remind you that 2 years ago, it was a Republican governor, Rick Scott, and the Republican legislature that inflicted upon us the draconian red flag law that we now have to deal with. That red flag law, it was politically motivated just so Rick Scott could get elected to the U.S. Senate.
It was a knee-jerk response to a mass shooting. The gun did not do the killing. The lad behind the trigger did. And as a result of that, the knee-jerk legislation, which is what we find going on across the nation, anytime there's a shooting, all of a sudden it's the gun's fault, the gun's problem. And as I've said on this broadcast many times, I've researched the last 40 mass shootings, the last 40. All of them, the shooter was promulgated and prompted to do because of psychotropic drugs that he was on, either prescribed drugs or heroin or cocaine or any other type of drug of that nature, including marijuana. They were hooked on the crazy videos that it would induce them to go out and shoot people and laugh at it. They were out of broken homes and broken families, and there was no religion in the home, if you please, no Bible, no God, no Jesus, etc. And that's the end result. We're seeing it. But yet, out of knee-jerk response, because of the shooting in the Parkland school, then all of a sudden we have this law. 17 states have the red flag law, and it is absolutely antithetical that it's anything that's called constitutionally correct. It is a very dangerous, dangerous, dangerous law. And it's my prayer that somehow, some way, we can have someone in the House and the Senate in the future that will negate that. In fact, there's over 40 bills in Tallahassee now that are gun bills. Several of those bills, I believe it's House Bill 6003, that if it's given the light of day, will gut the present red flag law in the state of Florida. But because of Galvino, the chairman of the Senate, the president of the Senate, he's telling the senators, don't vote for that because you can't get reelected if you do that. So you're right.
From the time the Stoneman Douglas murder happened to the time that Scott signed it into law, it was only 25 days. I sometimes think that that red flag law had, that it had probably already been written, and that Scott and the Republicans, they were just waiting for the right moment to enact it. It's like Saul Alinsky said, he wrote a book called Rules for Radicals, and like he said, never let a crisis go to waste, and that's exactly what Scott did. Dr. Youngblood, thank you. God bless you. Have a good day, sir.
Thank you so much for your input and your dialogue, your own target with what you said. And by the way, it was not a, it was a knee-jerk legislation, but it's not as though they had to sit down and write the legislation, because at that point, 16 other states already had the red flag law. They just simply went on record and replicated what was out there in the other 16 states and modified it slightly for the state of Florida. But I'm adamantly opposed to that, ladies and gentlemen, because right now what is taking place, if some of these bills pass in Tallahassee, some of them that's introduced by the Democrats, the liberals, and we still have liberals on both sides of the aisle, so I'm identifying the liberal Democrats, and some of those bills that are in the House and the Senate working their way through to the floor as we speak. One of those in particular would enlarge and enhance the Florida red flag law. That will allow anybody to anonymously telephone call the law enforcement. You could have a neighbor that hates you. You could have a coworker that hates you, and a strange wife or husband that hates you, or a child that's angry at mom and dad for discipline, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, infinitum, et cetera, where they could pick up the telephone and anonymously call in. And then the next morning before daylight, the police officer is there to break your door down, search your home, confiscate all the weapons, throw you in jail, and you're there 14 days as a minimum before you can have your first hearing. And ladies and gentlemen, there are cases in America today where states have the red flag law, where some have been waiting 10, 12, 14, 18 months to try to have a proper judicial forum so that they can get their weapons back and have their record cleaned. Ladies and gentlemen, the red flag law is the most dangerous thing against the protection of the family, protection of the church, protection of the individual, and the rights that we have under our Constitution. In the Bill of Rights in particular with the Second Amendment. So, yes, there's a major, major, major problem with what we see taking place. But, ladies and gentlemen, let me simply tell you that there is good news, and that good news is that the Senate trial can go forward. In fact, here's an article that says, Trump's lawyer absolutely destroyed Schiff as impeachment trial opens. President Trump's counsel, Jay Sekulow, on Tuesday was praised on Twitter for having absolutely destroyed, as it is called, Representative Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, and his little impeachment scam. Sekulow pointed out that when Trump was investigated in the House, he was denied the right to, of a cross-examination witness, the access of evidence, the right to have counsel at the hearings. Sekulow also noticed that Schiff is known for putting words into the transcript that did not exist. The reference to what Schiff was reading in the congressional record, his personal interpretation of President Trump's July 25th phone call to the Ukrainian president. Further, it's quote, says here, quote, it's going to be a rough impeachment trial for Adam Schiff, and it couldn't happen to a more deserving bug-eyed little fella, end quote. The post was headline, he's dead, Jim, dead. Jay Sekulow just absolutely destroyed Adam Schiff and his little impeachment scam. Sekulow quoted Democrats' own record against them. He condemned the House Democrats' rush to impeach President Trump, adding an article of impeachment for obstruction of Congress rather than litigating a matter of executive privilege in the courts. Sekulow said, and I quote, Mr. Schiff did say the courts don't really have a role in this. Executive privilege, question mark. Why would that matter, question mark? It matters because it's based on the Constitution of the United States. The president's opponents in their rush to impeach have refused to wait for a judicial review, end quote. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful for that. And for me, I don't know about you, that's good news. Now, you may oppose that, but ladies and gentlemen, if this goes left and goes wrong and the president is impeached, if that were to happen, we've destroyed our Constitution. We've destroyed the future of America as a constitutional republic. We destroyed any effort and possibility of a president taking a stand as he's supposed to. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour. We're going to have the news and come right back. We're going to continue to talk about good news, bad news with open mic today. You can join in the discussion right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.